Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for a living.
Hallelujah. God is good. Do you mean it? So you expect me to come back with all the time. Is God good even when he isn't doing what we would describe as good? He's still good, amen. Come on, give Jesus a shout of praise in the house tonight. It's all about him, amen? Hallelujah. It's all about Jesus. Hallelujah. Who else can take us from the ash heap of sin and put us on a road to destiny? Come on, somebody. Amen? Who can take our bitterness and make something sweet? Jesus. It's all about him tonight. I feel something, so I'm gonna try to stick to my notes and preach tonight, but I'm going to tell you, I feel something tonight. If you like my preaching, thank Pastor Ronnie. He mentored me for 12 years. If you don't like my preaching, blame Pastor Ronnie. He mentored me for 12 years. Hallelujah. I want to ask you I want to give honor where honor is due. But as I do so, I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5 and then hold your place. And we're going to end up in Ephesians chapter 6. So 1 Peter chapter 5 and Ephesians chapter 6. I want to give honor to Pastor and Sister Sherry tonight. I did serve here for 12 years, and as Pastor said tonight, that although I don't consider myself a great preacher, you do get better over time, and there was many opportunities that he gave me to stand in his pulpit, and I'm grateful to that. The opportunities that he presented to me and the years that he invested in me and my family, the time, which I consider a minister's time, their most valuable commodity, and he was very generous with his time with me, even when he probably wanted to thump me sometimes. He spoke life over me, spoke into my life, made me believe in myself when I didn't even believe in me. So praise God for Pastor and Sister Sherry. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And thank you all, those of you that have prayed for us from the beginning and still pray for us. Do you know that when you hit your knees and you pray for us, and we get Facebook messages sometimes, hey, how's it going out there? Can we pray for you? You have a part in what's happening in Iowa. You may never meet those people. You may never see with your own eyes the fruit and what God is doing, but you have a part to play in what is happening. And Pastor, you have fruit that you have not even seen, people you have not even met. So thank you for your investment. Those of you who pray for us, please keep it up. We, like Pastor said, we pastor in Des Moines, Iowa. We are in the middle of a replant. We took a church that had some issues and pretty much managed to grow it down to about 8 people very quickly. So we designated it, the state, the Church of God designated it as a replant. We started over, we restructured some things, we cast vision fresh and put some things in place, and we are launching in two phases, launch 1.0 and launch 2.0. Launch 1.0 was September 11th of this past year. Launch 2.0 will be National Back to Church Sunday of this year. So continue to keep us in prayer, and we appreciate that. So I have a word I want to share with you tonight, and I pray that it will bless you. I pray that it will minister to you the way it did me. The title of my message tonight is How to Overcome the Enemy. Now, I'm not going to give you the all-in-all, and I'm just going to wrap it all up for you tonight, and I'm going to give you everything you need to just overcome the enemy, because there's going to be times when you're going to come against some things. There's going to be times when you're going to face some battles, and you're going to have to press through, and you're going to have to fight through, and you're going to have to believe through. I'm not going to hand you a book tonight. I'm not selling a book. I haven't written a book, but I believe as we go through the Word of God tonight, as we look at God's Word, that His Word is powerful. It'll get in your spirit and your heart if you will allow it. And the thing is that I am tired of seeing the people of God getting defeated by the enemy, getting beat up by the enemy, getting run over by the enemy, talking about, oh, I'm just down and out, I'm defeated, I don't know, the devil's just fighting me so hard. We sang that song tonight, I about come unglued. Talked about Jesus has already won the victory. Some of you need to get a hold of that tonight. I hear people say, well, if I could just get the victory. I'm here to tell you tonight, you've already got the victory. Yeah. Jesus descended into hell, and I got this picture in my mind. He goes down into hell, and death gets a look at him. Death, who's walked with a strut for all these years, sees Jesus, looks for his white flag and says, I can't hold Jesus. I'm not going to mess with Jesus. Come on. Hell began to shake and tremble at the name and at the sight of Jesus. He had won the victory. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. The grave said, he's still alive. I can't hold him. He won the victory over death, hell, and the grave. And guess who he gave it to? Look at your neighbor and said, he's talking to you. Oh, come on, somebody. We've already got the victory. We need to realize what the Word of God says about us as the people of God. And if we'll learn to apply the Word of God to our lives and hearts, we can walk in victory. We can walk in triumph over the powers of hell. I'm not saying there isn't going to be some down days. I'm not saying there isn't going to be some days when you've got to fight. But you can walk out at the end of the fight a little beat up, a little battered, maybe a little bloody, but standing over your enemy in triumph, standing in victory, looking back, saying, how in the world did I get through that? Come on, somebody. I feel the preacher up in the house. I got to get to my notes. I'm going to preach 2 hours. I only plan on preaching an hour and a half. I told you he mentored me. Good Lord, I feel it. Come on, somebody. Somebody said to me one time, you know, we don't go on feelings. And I thought, I'm insulted. No, I don't go on feelings in the sense I don't let my feelings dictate to me whether or not I have victory. But I like what I feel when the Holy Ghost begins to move and the Spirit of God begins to move in a place. When I step in a pulpit and I begin to preach something that wasn't in my notes and God just begins to move, I like what I feel. Come on, somebody. Oh, we got to get to the Word tonight. 1 Peter chapter 5. It's time for some people. It's time for the people of God to begin to walk in victory. And I'm not talking about the week-to-week kind of victory. I'm not talking about get me through what I'm going through kind of victory. I'm talking about walking in triumph in your life, realizing your place in God's kingdom, realizing your place and your authority over the powers of hell and living like it. Some of you need to get beyond just get me a little something, something to get me through. Some of you need to get a hold of the Word of God tonight and let it impact and change your life. Not just some preacher that showed up to preach down on Wednesday night, but let the Word of God get a hold of your heart tonight. Now, I better preach it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says this. I'd love to get in the whole context of all that what Peter was saying here in the whole chapter 5 and the whole book of 1 Peter. But for time's sake, let's look at verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. How many of you know you have a real enemy? Your adversary, the devil, Satan, Lucifer, roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is ruthless. He is uncaring. He is unfeeling. And he has one purpose at heart. And that is to absolutely destroy and devour you. And the enemy has so many of the people of God locked up in fear. And there's so many. I like what one minister said, Angel shared with me a couple weeks ago. That there's more Christians that are afraid of the devil. More Christians that fear the devil than fear God. And we got it backwards. He shows his teeth a little bit, growls us a little bit, and we think, oh, I better not go too far. I better not impact the kingdom of God too much. I better not get too close to God. I better not do too much for the kingdom. I better not impact too many lives because the enemy is going to retaliate against me. And he's got so many of the people of God today crippled in fear, thinking if you dare oppose me, if you dare come against me, if you dare walk in your purpose, I will retaliate against you. I will retaliate against your family. I will come against you. I will cause havoc in your life. But it's time for the people of God to say, who do you think you are? I am a child of God, and you have got some nerve to try to come up in my face and try to threaten me. Do you realize whose I am? Come on, somebody. We need to get a hold of that tonight. But see, it's not always easy, and I'll admit that. I've had to face some devils in my life. I've had to fight some devils. I've had to press through some things. I've had to fight my way through some hell in my life sometimes, and it's not always easy. But I'm here to tell you that no matter how the enemy comes against you, no matter how much of the forces of hell are unleashed against your life, you can walk in triumph. You can conquer the enemy. Yeah. Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. Paul later said, that he's made us more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. Some of us need to get a hold of that. Hallelujah. Peter said, be sober, be vigilant. That word sober, the Greek word for it, literally meant self-controlled. And I want to thank Braddock for getting all this stuff in for me tonight on short notice. Appreciate that. Self-controlled. And we're going to look at that here in just a minute, what that means. He told us to be vigilant. That word vigilant literally means watchful. To be watching. Hallelujah. Later on in James chapter 4, James tells us to resist the devil and he will flee. Which we're going to look at that a little bit more in just a minute too. See, we like to quote the scripture. And that's why I like to look at the word of God in context. Because especially us Pentecostals, and I'm one of us Pentecostals, right? I'm one of us. But we like to get a hold of a scripture and just run with it and say, whoo, that's a shout in scripture. Yeah, resist the devil and he will flee. And we resist and we pray and we speak in tongues and we got all this going on. We're saying, why is the enemy just running over me? I'm resisting him. I'm telling him he's got to leave. But we don't pay attention to the entirety of the scripture and what the previous scripture before that said, which we're going to get into in just a minute. But the word resist, as we begin to look at that word tonight, resist, that literally means to vigorously oppose, to actively engage. All right. That'll preach right there. That's like a mic drop moment right there. To vigorously oppose. We are called. We have been given the power and the authority and the word of God by Jesus Christ himself to vigorously oppose the powers of hell that come against us. But he's got too many of us crippled with fear thinking, no, I can't. If I oppose the enemy, he's going to come even harder. Let him come even harder. I'm a child of God. And what God did for me back there, he'll do for me through this battle. What God did when God slayed my enemies around me before, he'll do it with this enemy. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. But I want to give you three rules. Three rules of engagement. Three rules for consistently defeating the enemy. And notice I said consistently. Because I'm tired of partial victories in my life. I'm tired of a little victory here and a little defeat there. One step forward, three steps back. I'm ready to walk in the power and the anointing of God. I'm ready to walk in my destiny. I'm ready to take my place in the kingdom of God and start walking in authority over the power of hell in my life. I want the kind of consistent victory that helps me to walk in consistent triumph over the enemy. I'm going to give you three rules. First, very simple tonight. Be self-controlled. And this ain't easy. I'm going to admit it. Be self-controlled. See, if the enemy knows how to get to you, he's going to get to you. If the enemy knows how to exploit your weaknesses, he's going to exploit your weaknesses. If the enemy knows how to catch you off guard, he's going to do what? Catch you off guard. If the enemy knows how to manipulate your thinking, he's going to manipulate your thinking. We got to learn to be self-controlled. We got to learn not to give in to every little thing that comes away. We got to learn to watch. We got to learn to be vigilant. We got to be sober and watchful. And be knowing that our enemy is pursuing us. Knowing that our enemy wants to devour us. We got to be watchful. We got to be sober. We got to be ready. We got to know us. Amen. Come on, somebody. Let me give you this. To be self-controlled, you have to know yourself. Because the enemy sure does. The enemy knows you. The Bible says that the enemy roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. How many of you ever watched lions on nature shows? Me and my boys like to watch nature shows, and we'll watch these things on PBS or Nat Geo or whatever the case may be. And I watch these lions. And it doesn't matter how long it's been since their last kill. It doesn't matter how hungry they are. It doesn't matter how long it's been since they've eaten. They're patient. And they'll watch. And they'll stalk. And they'll wait for that moment of vulnerability when that one is kind of strayed a little bit, when that one has isolated itself from the rest of the herd. Oh, I don't need to go to church. Come on. Now, I realize I'm preaching to a bunch of people that want to be here, right? But for those of you that are watching And some of you that, from my church that may have been tagged on the live stream, tag somebody. Right? We isolate themselves in the enemy. The enemy watches and they're patient and they wait for that moment. And they don't just charge in one lion. They come in the whole herd. The whole herd comes against because they know that they can't afford to lose. And they wait for their moment. They wait for that moment of vulnerability. They wait for that moment of isolation. They wait for that one that's gotten weak. And they pounce in that moment with the sole purpose of completely devouring and destroying that prey. That's how the enemy works. Peter painted a picture of him being a lion for a reason. He's very patient and he studies your life. He knows your tendencies. He knows your weaknesses, so you better know them as well. You better know yourself. Come on. James chapter 1, verse 4. I don't know if Pastor said this in a little bit, but I kind of say some Ronnie-isms when I preach in my pulpit, and right now is one of those times. Just, I know it's a little tight right now, but hold on, it's going to get loose. That's right. James chapter 1, verse 14 says this, but each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Come on. Oh, no. Just one more time. Just take one more look. Just take one more puff. Just tip that bottle one more time. Just go in that dark bedroom one more time. You know you want to. Our own desires. That's how the enemy draws us away, by our own desires. James made it very plain. It's not one of those shouting scriptures, but it's one of those life-changing scriptures. Each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. See, you must recognize what it is that entices you and deal with it. Don't make it easy on the enemy. See, for some, it isn't necessarily a sin issue. For some, the enemy just knows how to come and bring you to a place of defeat. The enemy just knows how to come and just speak a little bit of truth in your life and twist a lie, sprinkle it with truth and get you to believe something and get you to start speaking negative, start complaining, start woe is me. I don't have it like someone else. Pastor didn't hug me today. I'm going to leave. I'm going to go to another church. But I'm using humor, but you understand that that's how the enemy manipulates us. He watches us, he studies us, and he knows how to get to us, and he waits for that moment where we make ourselves vulnerable, and he comes in and he attacks in that moment, many times catching us off guard, many times getting to us before we even know, getting a hold of our jugular before we even have a chance to respond. But if we're watching, but if we're sober, but if we're ready, but if we recognize our own weaknesses and say, I got to address this in my life, I got to deal with this in my life, I got to get this under the blood, I got to turn away from this thing, which is what it means to repent. I got to put this thing, I got to cast off this weight in my life. I got to get rid of it. I got to deal with this before the enemy uses it to manipulate my life and my behavior. Come on, somebody. You better know yourself. You better know yourself. The enemy sure does. Know what your weaknesses are and eliminate them. Now, I realize that isn't always easy. I get it. It's not like just one day you just wake up super spiritual, put your Christian cape on, and like, oh yeah, all this junk is going away today. I've reached it. I've attained it. Just today, man, I'm just feeling good. I'm just feeling close to God. And just today, everything's going away. Sometimes it's hard. It involves being crucified. Paul described this dying daily. It's hurtful, it's painful sometimes, but if you don't deal with the weaknesses and the things in your life that entice you, the enemy will expose and entice you in that moment, and he will use it to get to you. He will use it to manipulate you. Come on. Let me give you the second thing. Second rule for consistently defeating the enemy, and that is be watchful. The second thing Peter talked about tonight. Be watchful. And to be watchful, we have to know the enemy and his tactics. Are you following me tonight? Yeah. See, first you have to know yourself, and then you have to know the enemy and his tactics. I'll never forget, I've used this example before, If I used it when I was a part of this house, forgive me and just shout grace, I'm going to use it again. But I remember in Desert Storm in 1993, I believe it was 93, and Storm and Norman, Norman Schwarzkopf, was that his name? He was the general of the army. And he developed, he was a mastermind of war and strategy. He was a strategist. And I remember it was almost an effortless defeat when we went in and we liberated Kuwait and we did all those things. I mean, it wasn't effortless, but almost. And I remember him giving a press conference and he had this thing drawn up and he had the map and everything. And he was saying, we know that the enemy has studied us for years. But little did the enemy know we've been studying them for years. And we had intel on the enemy. And before we ever engaged the enemy, before we ever took on this fight, we knew the enemy. We knew their tendencies. We knew how they moved. We knew how they would respond to certain things. And we went in there with that knowledge and we moved swiftly and we moved quickly and we won a swift victory. And I thought, good Lord, I'm not even called to preach yet and that'll preach. Some of you will get that later. You'll be like, oh, I get it. You have to know the enemy. Yes, it's absolutely vital that you know yourself, but you better know him. You better know how he moves. You better know how he works. You better know how he's tried to come against you before. You better know his tendencies against you. Amen. You better know the word. I tell my people all the time, have a serious devotion life. Don't haphazardly read the Bible, but be serious about it. Be in the Word. But beyond just devotion, we need to get in. We need to devour the Word sometimes. We need to sit down. We may need to make it a point to dig deep into the Word and say, God, speak to me. I want to hide your Word in my heart. We better know the Word. You want to know the enemy? Know the Word. Take note of where he's had success with you before and watch for him to show up there. Come on, somebody. Amen. And let him show up and see you out of business, closed, done. I don't live here no more. I don't do that no more. I don't say that anymore. I don't watch that anymore. I don't behave like that anymore. I've already dealt with that. I've already eliminated that out of my life. So, devil, you got to go. I'm here to proclaim to you that I'm a child of God. I'm walking in victory. I'm walking in triumph. The blood of Jesus has covered my life, and you're going to have to find another way, devil. Not only am I resisting you, but I'm going to vigorously oppose you. And not only do you have to leave me alone, you try to come up against me now. You pick the fight. You better be ready. Because I know who I am and I've been given authority over all the power of the hell. And now I rebuke you out of my family's life. I rebuke you out of my children's life. You showed up. You dared pick a fight with me. Let's go. But see, we're afraid to engage the enemy. We're afraid to come up against the enemy because we think we don't have what it takes. Jesus already won your victory. You don't have to win a victory. You just have to take it. Come on, somebody. It's not your battle to win. You just have to fight it. And he's already assured you the victory because he already won the victory for you. We just have to be courageous enough to stand up in the face of the enemy and say, you got to go. You are not welcome here no more. Nehemiah stood up in the face of those that opposed him. And the enemy was trying to intimidate him. So who do you think you are? You feeble Jew. Even if you succeed in building a wall, if a little fox goes along the wall, it'll fall down. Who do you think you are? And he stood up and he said, I have a mandate from God and the king. And as for you, you have no heritage amongst the people of Israel. We need to get the attitude of Nehemiah and the tenacity of Nehemiah and say, who do you think you are, devil? You have no place in my life. You have no authority in my life. You don't own me. You don't dictate anything to me. But let me tell you how it's going to roll. Come on, somebody. Take note of where he's had success with you before and watch for him in that area. He won't always attack the same area because he's a strategist. But if you watch for him, you'll see him coming. Come on. I'm telling you, we went to Beatrice to plant a church. And I was ready to win the world. I just knew I was going to have a mega church in a small town. I'm just being honest with you. I was fired up. I served at Crystal River for 12 years. I was ready to win the world. I went out there, advertised, got our first informational meeting, and got a bunch of people to show up at the YMCA, and I'm in everything but a suit jacket. I'm in a shirt and tie and everything, and people are showing up in shorts and flip-flops and overalls. And I'm thinking, well, man, I bit off more than I can chew. But I went out there. I'm ready, man. I'm fired up. I don't have a clue how to plan a church. I told the overseer that. He had said, I want you to plan a church. I said, no. I did. I said, no disrespect, Bishop. I honor you. I appreciate what you're asking, but I'm not your guy. And he said, why would you say that? I said, I don't have a clue how to plan a church. I could take a church. But I don't have a clue how to plan a church. And he just laughed. I'm thinking, what do you think? This is funny. He said, that's good. He said, I don't need someone, some hotshot coming out here thinking they know everything.
All right.
He said, I need someone that feels the burden and the call to an area. Yeah. So I want you to pray about this area, and I want you to pray about going there and planting a church. I said, I think you're crazy, but I'm going to pray about it. I prayed about it, and God broke our hearts, opened up the doors, and Beatrice, here we come. And we went through 4 years of hell. I thought, okay, we're going to do all this. I read the books. I went to the seminars. I sought out the church plant mentors. I got this. Okay, I'm going to do this, 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 and this. And all this is going to happen. Nothing. 4 years of hell. 4 years the enemy attacked my family. I saw the enemy come against my wife and my kids like I never saw before. I've experienced constant, ongoing battles of hell like I'd never faced in my life. I had to come up against demons I didn't know existed. We had people tell us, why don't you just leave? Everyone else who's tried fails, so why don't you just leave? I remember I used to do prayer drives around the city as often as I could, and I was at a place where I was carrying the burden of my family and carrying my own burden and just trying to believe God for something to break and something to happen. I've been plowing and plowing and plowing. I just wanted to be able to plant and win a harvest and just praying, God, please give me a reprieve. Give me a time where I can rest, where I can recoup. Give me a time where I don't have to fight so much. God, just please give me a breakthrough. Give me something. Let me see a little seed and something. God, you got to do something. Give me a breakthrough. And I'm whining and I'm complaining to God. And the devil spoke to me. And this hasn't happened often in my life. But I know when I heard him. And he said, Craig, if you'll quit, I'll leave your family alone. Wow. He said, if you'll leave town, I'll never bother your family again. I said, oh, it's on. It's on, devil. See, I got your number now. I got you on the ropes. You're about to tap out, and you want me to think that you've got me. But if you're that bold, and if you're coming up and getting in my face in that way, I realize my prayers have been answered. My effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man have been availing much. Heaven is about to break open. Something's about to break loose. The forces of hell are about to break loose. So I'm going to take one more step. I'm going to pray one more prayer. I'm going to believe one more time because I got you worried. And no, devil, I will not back down. I will not quit. And no, you will not attack my family anymore. You have no right. You have no place. You have no authority. Come on, somebody. And now there is, it's 2011 when we started. 6 years later, there was a life-giving church in that city, that the kind that there has never, ever been before, piercing through the darkness and the deception of religion that is so strong in that area, seeing people truly saved and coming to Jesus, not because of what I did, but because I believed and I wouldn't be intimidated by the enemy, and I stood up to a lying devil. Come on. He won't always attack in the same area, but if you watch for him, you'll see him coming. If you see him coming, you won't be caught off guard when he gets there.
Right?
Right?
Right.
It won't be, oh, the devil hit me so hard. Oh, I got to get victory. No, you see him coming and you're ready for him. You're ready. You know, you're ready to vigorously oppose the enemy. You're ready to stand against and take authority and declare the word of God over your situation, over your circumstances, whatever it may be, and put the enemy in his place. Instead of being surprised and overtaken by the enemy, it's time for you to surprise and overtake him.
All right.
It's time for some people to start walking in some real victory. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Pastor alluded to that tonight in worship, and I'm a worshiper. I love to worship. Some of the most incredible breakthroughs and the most incredible times with God I've ever had have been in moments of worship.
And, oh, you don't understand, I'm tired. And you don't understand, there's been so much going wrong. And you don't understand, I drug myself to church tonight. And you don't understand what I'm going through. But I'm here to tell you, if you'll catch the enemy off guard, when he's used to you throwing the towel, and when he's used to you complaining, when he's used to you whining, and you lift your hands and you declare the glory of a great God, and you declare the praises of a Savior who's worth it despite what you're going through, that's when the glory of God will come down in the midst of your situation. And sometimes that's what that, in that very moment is when your breakthrough will come. Sometimes it won't, but you keep praising. But it's in that moment where God gives you that strength beyond your own to take one more steps, to fight one more fight. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I got to move on. Hallelujah. Third thing. The third rule for consistently walking in victory is resist. We talked about it tonight. I want to dive just a little bit deeper. Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. See, it's not about you. It's not about your ability. It's not about it if you've been good enough. It's not about if you've been serving God enough or if you've memorized enough scripture. It's about the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers and darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, as in because of all that I just said, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, I really felt the Lord speaking to me about a year ago in my church to begin to teach on the armor of God. And I thought, it'd probably take me about 3 weeks to preach this. I want to really dive into all the armor that Paul talked about. And as I began to study and develop it into sermons, I found out that I needed to take a week to talk about each piece of armor. So it developed into like 7 weeks. And then I realized I can't really talk about the armor unless I talk about how the enemy opposes us, and how to look for the enemy, and how to recognize the handiwork of the enemy. And then I realized, well, I can't really talk about how the enemy opposes us unless I talk and teach about who he is. We have to first understand that who he is, just like God is truth. He doesn't just speak truth. He doesn't just do truth. He is truth. The devil is a liar. Everything he does is based out of a lie. He takes a little bit of truth to make it sellable to you, and then he tries to sell you a lie. He is a liar, and we have to begin to understand him and his function. I don't have time to preach that tonight, but we got to take up the whole armor of God to withstand. This literally requires action. It requires us to do something. The Greek word for withstand, and I don't have it written down tonight in my notes of what the actual Greek word was, but it was another action verb, which literally meant to do something, to take action against, to withstand the enemy. Not just, leave me alone, devil. Not just, oh, I rebuke you, Satan. No. But to take action against him, to take up that armor and begin to use it against him, to wield that sword, to put on that breastplate of righteousness, to put on the shoes of the preparation of the gospel means you've been in the Word. To take up that armor and to oppose him and to come against him and put him to flight. Hallelujah. Now, let me just let you in on a little secret. I don't have much notes. I'm not going to say I'm almost done. I'm just going to tell you I don't have many notes left. See, I learn. Can I just tell you tonight, though? I'm going to let you in on a little revelation. Get ready. Get ready. If you're taking notes, get ready. The enemy isn't scared of you because you go to church. The enemy isn't scared of you because you quote scripture. The enemy isn't even scared of you because you speak in tongues. The enemy isn't even scared of you because you bear the name of Christ. He's scared of you when you live up to that name. Come on, somebody. When you start looking like Jesus, when you start walking like Jesus, when you start speaking in authority like Jesus, when your life reflects the character and the nature of Jesus, he recognizes authority. Come on, somebody. You remember the story of the sons of Sceva? They said, hey, we want some of this action. We're going to go cast out a demon. We know where one lives. Seven of them. Said, all right, let's go, boys. We're going to go show up. We're going to cast this demon out. They knocked on a door. Boy opens the door. I'm paraphrasing this. Craig gave your version. Go look it up. And they said, devil, you got to come out. That boy said, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who are you? I don't recognize any authority. You just put on the name of Jesus like it was a garment. Oh, I'm a Christian. Woo. You decided you want a little something, so you show up here, and he whooped them. They barely escaped with their lives. Seven of them whooped by one devil. The enemy recognizes authority, and authority only comes through submission. We just read about it. James chapter 4, verse 7 says this, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Not he might, not he may. You might get lucky. If it's a good day, if you've been good, if you've been to church enough, if you read your Bible enough, you resist the devil and he will flee. No, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Jesus said, behold, pay attention, take note. I give you authority over all the power of hell, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Right. Woo! My favorite scripture in the whole Bible. This is pastors. Mine is that one in Luke 10. I give you authority over all the power of the hell. Woo, that'll make you shout. Until you read chapter 9. I'm just going to skip that chapter right there. Chapter 9, he told his disciples, anyone who wants to come after me has to pick up his cross daily, deny himself, and come after me. Come on. He who does not take up his cross, deny himself, and follow me is not worthy of me. My God. He said that. That's what Jesus said in chapter 9. He also told his disciples elsewhere, he who does not hate his father, brother, mother, sister, yes, even his own life for my sake cannot be my disciple. Now that word hate, and I got to close. I don't want to get on rabbit trails, but that word hate there isn't the hate like we think of to wish ill will against someone. It's to think less highly of. See, it's talking about putting the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ before our own desires and our own needs and our own wants and our own dreams and our own, this is what I want, Jesus. Do this for me. No, Jesus said, do this for me, and then I'll do this for you. But we get it so backwards in the church. God, if you'll just give me this, if you'll just make this dream come true over here, if you'll just release this in my life, if you'll just let this person get saved, if you'll just do this for me over here, Lord, I'll serve you with my whole heart. Jesus said, no, if you'll deny yourself and follow me, he who does that will not fail in this life and in the life to come to receive 60, even 100-fold. But I want it now. Jesus, Jeremiah talked about a commercial the other day on TV talking about, it's my money and I want it now. Right? We look at that and we say, it's my promise, I want it now. But Jesus said, no, give me all you got and I'll give you all I got. Come on, somebody. Yeah. And here's the point. Why did I go into all that tangent? Because that's what the enemy recognizes. You could be the most faithful church attender there's ever been and still walk in defeat. Right. And the enemy just run over you in your life. Why is that? Because he recognizes authority. He recognizes submission. And that's what he responds to. Successfully resisting the enemy requires complete submission to God. Not everything but this one little thing in my life. Not, well, God's really been convicting me and dealing with me. He's God. Now, I've been there. I admit it. I've been that guy, okay? Just to put that out there. I've been that guy that God has to deal with and deal with and deal with. And finally, all right, have it your way, son. This is going to hurt. But if we just learn to submit to God and die to ourselves and surrender to Him completely, that's when we walk in victory. That's when we find our breakthroughs. That's when we can stand in the face of all of hell and declare the word of God and it come to pass. Hallelujah. Let me leave you with this. If you have areas of your life that are not submitted to God, then you'll also have areas of your life that are influenced and controlled by the enemy. What? I'm a child of God. I've been a Christian 34 years. I'm not controlled by the enemy. Oh. Look at the word of God one more time. If you don't walk in submission, the enemy will manipulate you. The enemy will work in your life. Amen? But if you don't get anything else out of this message tonight, know this, that as a child of God, as a believer, you have the right. No, you have the God-given authority to walk in victory over the enemy. I've had to walk through some things. I've had to fight some demons that I thought were about to take me out. But I stand before you tonight a little beat up, a little broken, a little bruised. I got some scars for some wars that I fought. But I stand here tonight as one who's fought those battles and has walked through those battles. And I've gained the tenacity of David. I ain't just killing one giant. Oh, no. Come on, boys. We're going to go take out the whole army. Come on. And that's the attitude some of us need to develop tonight. Oh, no. I'm not happy with one little victory. I don't want just a little something to get me through. I'm here to declare victory over every area of my life, every day of my life, over every facet of my life, every time the enemy opposes me. Amen? Stand to your feet, if you will, tonight. In just a moment, I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor. But if you're here tonight and this word is ministered to you, I want to invite you to come. And you need a breakthrough. You need to step out into something. You need this consistent victory in your life. Not a little something, but you want to walk. You want to begin to walk in that authority. You want to begin to walk in that consistent victory we talked about tonight. I want to invite you to come and let's pray together. And we'll believe God for something purposeful to happen in your life. Not a little dabble, do you? Not a little something to get me through. But something that will click. Something that will change. Something that will change the momentum in your walk with God. Something that will change the momentum. Change the tide in your victory and your battle against the enemy in your life. Is there anyone here tonight? Well, then with every head bowed and every eye closed, I will admit I've been gone a long time. There's a lot of people here I don't know. But if you're here tonight and you're not in right relationship with the Lord, I'm not here to call you out, embarrass you, judge you, make fun of you, question your Christianity, because we all have been there. But if you're here tonight and you're not in a good place, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you just to slip your hand up and put it right back down. I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out. I see that hand. Thank you for your honesty. I see that hand. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you very much. I see that hand. You see, you're not alone. About 6 or 7 people raise your hands in here tonight. I want you to know that right there where you're at, right there in that moment, you can make a decision that enough is enough. And you're not going to have to deal with those same old battles. You're not going to have to deal with those same old struggles, those same old sins. Right now, you could cry out to God and say, Lord, forgive me. I've not been in a good place. I've not given you everything. But right now, God, I give you all I've got. I give you all I am. I won't be half-hearted. I won't be lukewarm, but I'll serve you with every fiber of my being. Oh, Lord Jesus, I cry out to you right now in your own words. Just begin to cry out to him. Let tonight be a momentum change. Let tonight be a defining moment of your relationship with God that you walk out of here never the same. You may never see me again, but the word of God can impact your life eternally right now if you'll respond and say, Lord, here I am. You can have all of me. I'm not going to hold anything back anymore. I want to walk in victory. I want to know you more than I've ever known you. I want to see you like I've never seen you. I'm going to experience you like I've never experienced you before, God. So I'm giving you all I've got. Jesus, I am yours. I am yours, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.